Alberto, Ephraim, a lot of visitors. Okay, so we're quoting today a very quick statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai, someone that we know very little about, one of the later Amorayim. We don't really have very many statements of his in Gemara, maybe five or a little bit in Agadita, but it's a very, very interesting statement in Avos Rabbi Nassim. We're now learning the 27th parak. Avos Rabbi Nassim is like a parallel work to Perkei Avos. Perkei Avos is a Midah Nasi, collected very short little statements about life and development, but there's no Gemara about it, so they're just very aphorisms, a little maxims. And Avos Rabbi Nassim is much more elaborative, explaining what they mean, and of course adding. It's like a Gemara to Perkei Avos. It's not really a Gemara, because it's not later generations, but it serves the same function as elaborator. So he has a very interesting statement, Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai. Let's say a person says, "Al tirchach atzmecha mimida she'ein la kitzva umimelacha she'ein la gemira." Let's say there are jobs and tasks in life and challenges that seem endless. I'll never accomplish them, and they're overwhelming, and there's such long-term issues. Mida she'ein la kitzva, unlimited. Melacha she'ein la gemira, something you can never finish in your life. So you get frustrated. You get a little bit disillusioned. I'll never accomplish this. He says, don't walk away from those challenges. Why? He says, I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you take some water from the ocean and you transport the water to your field, to use your field to irrigate, to water the field, to use for some other purposes. So the ocean isn't being depleted. Your field isn't all of a sudden being filled with water. But still, whatever you've accomplished that day, and you can get very, very short-sighted. You could be the language's mekatzir bedatcha. You could say, my goodness, what am I accomplishing in the long term? So you should realize that you get this chara for whatever you accomplish that day. It's very important in life because there are very often long-term prospects and very challenging. Sometimes when we have to break habits, some people have habitual behavioral cycles, hard to break long-term, and they get frustrated. I'm really going to change this. It just seems so overwhelming, so intimidating. So the purpose of this Mishnah is day by day, baby steps, as we would say in our world. And hopefully one day will lead to another and you'll condition yourself. And even if it doesn't, you still have, as the end of this Mishnah says, you have the dinar shel zav of that day. Each moment is worth its own, even though it can't serve long term. Because life is really a balance between long term vision and short term accomplishment. In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were so browbeaten and were so persecuted, they couldn't even breathe. Because they couldn't breathe, not just physically, but they didn't have imaginative space. So when Moshe comes and tells them about their redemption, they don't listen. And the first time they wake up is in Parshas Beshalach, where they're at the Yamsa. From the one end, you need long-term vision and to always plan, right? There was someone who did a Facebook mind experiment last week, a person our age, said, if you could write two words to your 20-year-old self, what would they be? So you can now sit down and write two words that you would send back in time to your 20-year-old self. But it can only be two words. So I went around the table in my house and I asked everyone at the table who was over 40, I said, what would you write to give yourself advice for life? So some people said, buy Bitcoin or Intel and Google or something. But if I could write 20 words to my 20-year-old self, two words, I'd say long bull. Just play for the long term. Don't always think of the immediate. How will your actions today affect long term? But sometimes you get so caught up in long term when it seems so unattainable and unachievable, you get frustrated. There's also something to be gained in the short term. And that's what the Yochanan ben Dehavai is saying. Sometimes things seem indomitable, overwhelming, unattainable, like taking water. You're not going to change the ocean into the dry land, but you do your best. And even a one day's accomplishment, even if it's illusory or transient, it's still worthwhile. Now, why is this such an interesting Mishnah, aside from the fact that it's stated by a Tana, who we don't really know too much about, is because about 130 years ago, the Chafetz Chaim, Yisrael Meir Kagan, wrote his sefer called Shmiras Halasha. And he felt he had to introduce a revolution, because he lived in the age of media. It wasn't the age of media, but for that age it was. Telephone was being invented, telegraph, newspapers. So all of a sudden people were communicating at a social level in ways that had never communicated in the past. Communication used to be mano a mano, person to person. Now all of a sudden there were broad, long-distance ways of communication. And all of a sudden there's a lot of gossip and a lot of negative speech and a lot of toxicity. That whole era, if you've ever studied the late 19th century, early 20th century, the world of literature and arts, and he felt like it was a very, very inappropriate environment. And there was a mitzvah of Lashon Hara that was being forgotten, in part because there's no Shulchan Aruch about Lashon Hara. Because you can't write a Shulchan Aruch about Lashon Hara, because everything is context-specific. How are you saying it? What do you mean to say by it? What does that word mean in the 20th century? What does it mean? There's no you can't lock in what the halacha is. There's no gemaras about lashon. There's one or two small gemaras, one in Erech and one in Bava Basra. But he felt that he had to refresh public recognition of this very, very terrible issur, because the way we use our tongues is who we are as people. We're the only animal with cognitive speech. So if we speak nobly and positively, we're better human beings. If we speak negatively, we're lower and lesser human beings. So he wrote a sefer, Shmiras HaLashon, two svarim, Shmiras HaLashon and Chafetz Chaim. One sefer of Musar and one sefer trying to map out as best as he could the halachas of Lashon Hara. And he was worried that people would think, my goodness, I'm going to avoid Lashon Hara my whole life. It's unattainable. It's impossible. I'll never get there. So he begins his sefer in the introduction with this medrash, with this mit. As far as I know, it's the only place, one of the only places in Svarim that this mission is quoted. This is a very, very unknown mission. It's embedded in the 27th parak of the Strip Nasan by a Tana that very few people know about. But the Chafetz Chaim somehow read this Mishnah, and he introduced his sefer, Shmiras HaLashon, with this Mishnah. You're not going to solve Lashon Hara your whole life. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try day by day to walk away with something tangible from that day. As far as I know, that's the only place this Mishnah is cited. In fact, I've seen people who have cited the Chafetz Chaim citing that Mishnah. They're not even aware the Mishnah exists. But the quote, I've seen in the Chafetz Chaim quoting, they don't open it to the back and see opposite Nasa. So it's an interesting Mishnah that was, I wouldn't say forgotten, people learned it, but people don't often learn the Sefer, and the Chafetz Chaim drew this Mishnah and embedded it in his introduction to Shmiras HaLashon. Welcome again to the Bruce Wankins and to Ephraim. Back, special welcome back there. Have a good day, everyone. Have a great day. Yeah. Aryeh, in 3-4 minutes, let's talk for a minute. What? Right. Good morning, good morning.
So what's the interface between us?
Before share, not now? Or is it doing the same mistake again?
No, that was cool.